The number today is 221. The starting code is 221. We are talking about assertive leadership today and how to coach our clients into that. All of this applies to individuals as well. It's just basically what examples you use and what language you use with them. The things that we're going to understand in this PowerPoint is understanding the aggressive, submissive, and assertive approaches, using assertive posture, gestures, facial expressions, and voice tone, choosing assertive words, and adopting an assertive philosophy. But I am going to also show you the website, and what I've done a lot of updating to the assertiveness material, as well as added a lot to the assertiveness page, which I just created actually. So you would go to leadership skill, and then once you got to leadership skill, you would go to assertiveness, and so you'd click on that. And then now you've got a lot of resources here for assertiveness that you didn't have before. And I believe the goal when we're coaching people around assertiveness is either to help them be more assertive from being passive or help them be more assertive from being aggressive. It's really a continuum, and I'll show you that in a minute, but we're moving people either this way or this way towards the middle. Hi, Katie. We're glad to have you. I've already gotten started. So what I've done is I've given you articles to have the clients read, moving from a passive to an assertive style or from an aggressive to assertive style. I don't think I've ever run into anyone that has both and they just need to become more assertive from the middle. It's usually passive or it's usually aggressive. So some of these articles, like 7 Steps to Positive Assertiveness, that's an article I wrote. And so there's some good information about becoming more assertive there. I also put that one on the aggressive to assertiveness because it would work either way. But to start with, you've got the workshop that I'm going to go through. So the PowerPoint I'm going through will be connected right here. It's not right now. You've got the 2 assertiveness quizzes. And by the way, assertiveness quiz 1 is for passive clients, and assertiveness quiz 2 is for aggressive clients. If you don't know which they are, you can have them do both and then see what the scores are. And you can coach right off these quizzes just like you can, an assessment, say. It's the same kind of approach. I've got an article on why be assertive, and then in the passive to assertive, I've also got some articles outside articles, and then from here down, 17 interventions to reduce anxiety, 5 more fears, and there will also be more fears, 17 interventions to reduce anxiety. Oh, it's in there twice. Okay, well, anyway, these are our articles, so you may want to especially capitalize on those and go through those with the client. And then here's a book recommendation, and I've done the same thing on the aggressive to assertive. Anger Management for Dummies is the aggressive book that you might want to read, and this Avoid Being the 800-Pound Gorilla in the Room is actually a video and a blog post. And The Lead to Energize is one of my articles, and then you get their article. So there's a lot of things here to get them to read, to support them in taking action to shift. So I just wanted to make sure you knew about those. And then I've also created an assertiveness coaching guide that we will want to take a look at, and then it'll be there for you to use. I do want to let you know that I have color-coded the PowerPoint so that it's divided into assertive and aggressive. So green means assertive. Yellow means passive. Reddish means aggressive. And so what I've done with the PowerPoint is, if you're passive, you go one line. And then if you're active, I mean, if you're aggressive, you start later in the PowerPoint and just do the aggressive slides. Because there's no point in talking about aggressiveness with somebody who's passive and vice versa. So you'll just use part of the PowerPoint as you go through. Let's see. Let me go back to the assertiveness coaching guide. So that is, you know, tells you here about the color coding. You can actually use the PowerPoint to coach the client, and I'm going to demonstrate that, and that's how I'm going to help you become more familiar with it. And I'm going to also want you guys to jump in at a certain point and do some coaching, and or we'll have a whole another coaching demonstration. I put the quizzes in here. They're in the bottom. I'll show you. They're in the bottom of this document. And some of the things that you can do with the quizzes is help them see how their approach doesn't work, find out what the consequences of their approach are, help them shift their thinking, help them shift their behavior, and also you can help them, you can actually do role plays around some of the quiz items. Did anybody take the quizzes? I know I sent that out late. Oh, good, Katie. Thanks. The rest of you, I would recommend taking the quizzes yourself so you get familiar with them. Does that make sense? And is there any questions so far?
Well, I had a question about the quiz, actually.
Okay.
So I actually did have an opportunity to take the, I just took it. First assertiveness quiz, not this one. But I was curious about the numbers. You know, is there a reference for how you score on those numbers? And
Is it
an area to work on?
Yeah. So it's this one, the passive one. So the one that I ask others to do things without feeling guilty or anxious. Obviously, that's the passive one. That one. If they score under three or below, I work on it, and I just work on each one.
Okay.
The other one, there is a key at the bottom of it, so you'll know from the key at the bottom. So if you look, it's kind of long.
Oh, yes, that one, yes.
Score. Okay. So, yeah, good questions. Yeah.
What I did on the first quiz is I looked at all the ones and multiplied that by the 15. And then I did my own little scale.
Oh, okay.
So that gave me a better, I'm visual, so that gave me a better understanding of, you know, were they aggressive or were they passive and stuff like that.
Okay. If you want to share that, I'll try to add it into the quiz. That's awesome. We are such a great collection of minds. I love the way we work together, you guys. It's wonderful. Thank you, Chris. So let's start by asking you, what are approaches that you use to coach people to be more assertive?
This is Chris. I ask questions such as, you know, what's holding you back from speaking your opinion? What is holding you, what is your emotional feeling when you feel like you're being talked over, or, you know, describe to me how you feel when these things are happening. Questions like that.
Okay, so the last question is a mind-body question.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a really great approach with assertiveness for passive and aggressive. So I would expand on that and say, where do you feel it in your body when you're going to be passive or when you're going to be aggressive? What feeling is it? And then I would take them to, can you for the next week or two watch to see when you get that feeling in your body? And by the way, can somebody volunteer taking notes of the people who add questions so that I can have those? Would anybody mind?
I can do that.
Thanks, Ariane. Wonderful.
Do you want to repeat that last question?
So, and actually, I think it may, now that I'm thinking of it, it may be, no, it's not. Okay. So the first one was, where do you feel it in your body?
Yeah.
And then the next one was, can you, for the next 2 weeks, watch when you get that feeling in your chest and it feels tight? I want you to notice that, and I want you to write it down either then or at the end of the day. Okay, and then what I would do is have them talk about it the next time. Well, gosh, you know, when I went into my boss's office, my chest got tight. Okay, so now let's create an intervention in that. So you could also go to what belief is driving that. There's a lot of different directions you could go in, but intervention can be 5 deep breaths. And scientifically, it's shown that 5 deep breaths will calm the amygdala part of the brain that's the fight or flight. So you can just, nobody will even notice, even if you just take 1 or 2, but do that breathing, and I would practice the breathing and breathing into the belly, all of that. But there's other things you could do. You could say, I need to go to the restroom. So you find a way to get a break. You can drop something, and that gives you a second. People think, by the way, that they can't leave a situation, but you can always leave. So, and that is an assertive thing to do. You can identify it if you're with somebody that's safe. You can say, hey, you know, I'm feeling a little, anxious or a little emotion, so I want to make sure that I'm dropping that down. Other interventions, a lot of interventions that have to do with stress reduction, but one that my mind-body therapist taught me was to put a hand on the back of the neck at the base of the skull and a hand here. So you'd have to go to the restroom to do this if you were at work. And you press into both of those, and you close your eyes, you put your tongue on the top of the roof of your mouth, and you breathe that way for 60 seconds, and then you release it. And you guys try this. You will feel that your whole system will just calm down. You can also splash water on your face in the restroom or wash your hands. Have the image of washing away the stress. And this can be for aggressive or passive people because they're both dealing with emotions that they're not regulating well. Anything to add or questions about that? Okay, so identifying when it's happening and interventions is a lot of what I do when I'm working with assertiveness and aggressiveness and passiveness. any other approaches you use to help people be either less aggressive or less passive?
And it's interesting. I think I've worked with clients more on the aggressive scale.
Oh, interesting.
Passive scale. Yeah, I think that's just what's come up. But I always like to go into what they believe about the interaction. So if it's a meeting situation or whatever situation they're bringing up, you know, asking them what is it that you believe about speaking, or, you know, being, what is it that you believe about this interaction, whatever they're bringing up, just to get into, you know, what's the emotion behind it, or what do they really believe about this person or what's happening. I find sometimes it leads to a fear that they feel, and then that causes them to speak aggressively or with a lot of force.
Mm-hmm. And so that is wonderful. And so belief work, and then what you'd want to do is say, how can you shift to a new belief about the situation? And I always get them to have either an object or an image, depending on what type of learning style they are, or something they say to themselves if they're auditory. to remind themselves to shift to that other belief about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes it just a little bit further. And then, of course, having them come back, hear how it goes, you know. And you can also do role play with that. You get them to the new belief, and then you act as the person that they're interacting with and role play it. And, you know, you could even do it both ways, the way they see it now and the new way. So a role play would be also a great, great thing. And also this leads into box work. So if you, depending on how big it is and how pervasive it is, I would take them into box work from that. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Other approaches to coaching around, and by the way, that's interesting that you get mostly aggressive, because over my career, it's been like 70% or 80% passive to assertive and about 20% aggressive. And it's good for me to know that you can handle the aggressive, because not everyone can, and not everybody likes to, and it's definitely not my strength. So even me, I, you know, would refer those out to people.
Right. And I don't know that they've come up a lot, but I'm actually working with a client right now who comes across as fairly aggressive with her team.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I think it's probably, I can count on one hand the number of clients I've worked with it, you know, on. But being more passive that has not come up as much.
Interesting.
Which is very interesting.
Yes, it is. Often remedial clients, which we do get some of, are aggressive to assertive, and that's what we're working on. And by the way, I believe aggressive to assertive is harder than passive to assertive.
Assertive.
Mm. Yeah. But maybe that's my belief because I went there. I used to be the least assertive person on the planet. I apologize for everything, and I've made a complete transformation. So. Katie, you took yourself off mute, so do you have a thing you want to share?
Well, I typically will ask people, you know, you were talking about the breathing thing. What do they need to remember whatever action they're going to take, right? So whether it's to speak up in the meeting or in that particular conversation. Like I had one client that was she'd get really stressed out in meetings, and then she'd, you know, blurt stuff out and blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
So she put a sticky on her. She came up with the idea to put a sticky on her computer that said breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And use that. So for, I call them touchstones, and so I typically have clients, you know, what would be a touchstone you could use as a visual reminder?
Perfect.
I had a client that wore his dad's ring. He wanted to strengthen some of his leadership, you know, assertiveness, and his grandfather was a great leader, and he had his grandfather's ring, so he said, I'm going to wear that to the meeting because it'll remind me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it can be an object, can be something you wear, and that's sort of, it's creating a touchstone, but it's also in a way in designing your environment to remind you. And so you can do more of that. I had a CEO that wrote something on his board that meant something to him, a symbol. And that would remind him. He'd look over at that when he went to speak with people. I had a client that had a necklace that had a dolphin on it, and she would pick it up and hold it. And that would remind her. So designing the environment, I guess that's a type of coaching and then also an action. But it could be a sign. It could be a color in, it could be a plant, it could be anything, really. Katie, did you have more on that or? No, okay. So you're touching on some of the approaches that I have in this. Carissa, did you have anything you wanted to share? Everybody else shared, so I wanted to give you a chance.
No, thanks. I'm really appreciating this conversation. It's very helpful. And I think, one thing that you said that stuck out to me was that interventions are about helping you regulate your nervous system, that there's a physiological aspect of what we're talking about, that and that you mentioned that both passive, when you're dealing with both a passive and aggressive approaches, it's the ability to regulate on both sides. So I think that help, that is just helpful to recognize that there's a physiological aspect of that happening too, and that if we can learn how to help our clients regulate their nervous system or recognize that part of it, then that could create that's really powerful. So that's something that's
awesome. Awesome. And if you think about it, fight is aggressive and flight is passive. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, you know, what's happening with most people. Sometimes it's a belief that, you've got to smash people to get what you want. That's a little bit different, but a lot of times it's in the nervous system for sure.
Donna, could I make one last point?
Sure.
All of this great conversation reminded me when we're talking with our coachee is to ask them to label what they're feeling. Sometimes, they're angry, but they don't know how angry. So is it rage? Is it, is it a feeling of inferiority? What emotion is it, so that in the intervention, part of the discussion is around, as you had mentioned about watching, when things happen, what brings it up? What triggers that emotion? But labeling also brings down the intensity of the emotion as well, because the prefrontal cortex starts to take over a bit, so it helps to regulate it.
So it's actually an intervention in and of itself. Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Love that. Putting it into language.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Yes, so those are all fantastic approaches. Let me just make sure that we've hit all of the ones that are here. Negative cognitions, it's related to belief work, but it's things that people told you when you were small, could be a teacher, an uncle, a parent, that become, and a lot of times they're sayings, speak when you're spoken to. Or, women should be seen, not heard. Children should be seen, not heard. Those kinds of beliefs. And they become negative cognitions that drive our behavior. And so, you heard you are not enough. You believe I am not enough. And you need to learn to believe I am enough. And so finding the negative cognition and then getting its mirror and having them work with that as an affirmation or in some way of learning is really, really helpful too. There's also head, heart, gut. What is your head telling you about this situation? What's your heart telling you? What's your gut? That's a good one. Role play is really big. And sometimes even when they're talking about the situation, you can hear the tone of voice and the word choice that they use with those other people. And you can reflect it back to them, and you can say, I want to reflect back to you what you said with the tone of voice and so forth that you used. And you can say, I want you to go get this, and all of a sudden they hear it. So just that reflection and actually their tone of voice can be helpful. Definitely working through situations, intentions, what kind of leader do they intend to be? What kind of leader do they want to, or how can they want to communicate? And also finding a role model that they think is a good assertive leader and dissecting, what they, how they approach things and then working to role play or emulate it. I sometimes ask them to videotape or audio tape themselves, and then we review it. If you were able to go in person, you could watch them, or, it could be on a teleconference. You could watch them and make notes and give it back to them. And then I gave the stress interventions. Some other actions that I think you could give the person is to create a new leadership vision, practice in the mirror, reading the articles that we put up, and then affirmations work. And does everybody know I mean, I think I've kind of already touched affirmations work. Is that good? Okay. So I'm going to take a look at the assertiveness quiz for passive. And what I've done is added some questions you could ask the client. And I was wondering if somebody would maybe take this one and continue to add some questions to it. Is there a volunteer for that? Oh, come on. Don't jump up all at once. I'll review it. Just take a stab at it. No? Okay. I will ask somebody that's not here then. But this would then be a guide for you. The first one, I ask others to do things without feeling guilty or anxious. Who told you that you couldn't ask for help? What makes you feel anxious about asking for help? What are the consequences of not asking for help? So you can see, you can just use the actual, and that's what I do. I just go through the whole thing, and whatever three or below, I work through it with them.
Donna,
mm-hmm.
Would you like us to look at this offline and then
yes.
Send you some questions?
Yeah, that's what I was asking for.
Okay.
So,
oh, I missed that.
Oh, okay. I didn't ask that well.
I was too anxious.
I didn't do a very good job of asking that. Okay. Chris, would you mind taking this one?
Taking which one?
The quiz one. And just going through and going through the rest of them and adding questions in.
Like now?
No.
Oh,
offline.
Okay.
Offline. I needed the word offline. Okay.
Yes.
And I started doing that for the aggressive one as well. And so I would love it if someone would take this one offline as well and work through and add some questions to it. Okay.
Well, I think Ariana should because, you know, she's a mean coach.
Ariana, would you mind taking a few? She's already taking notes for me, though. That's
I know.
The thing.
I'm just picking on her.
Okay. Well, I'll do the assertiveness one quiz two. And if you think of any questions to add to it, please send them. Okay. So, okay, so now I'd like to do a coaching demo, and I will start off, and then I'll throw it to someone, and I just want to show you how you can use this PowerPoint, and I really have made it much more coaching-friendly. So is there someone that either would like to become more assertive, because I want to do passive to assertive, that would volunteer to be the client or model, act as if you're one of your clients?
I will volunteer to be
awesome. Awesome. Okay. So, Ariana, I'm going to use this PowerPoint with you to do some coaching around assertiveness. You've said that you want to become more assertive, and I'm excited about that. I know I can support you with that. But so I'm going to have this on the screen, and I'm going to go through it with you. And we'll do some work around assertiveness. Does that sound okay?
That sounds great.
Good. Okay, so we'll probably come up with some actions. We'll probably come up with some changes in the way you think, maybe look at some beliefs and so forth.
Okay.
Kind of like stuff we've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to skip these two. I know that you took the assertiveness quiz one and that you came out as if you needed to be a little bit more assertive from moving from passive to assertive. So we've worked through that. But I want to talk about why be more assertive. Being assertive reduces conflict. It reduces dissatisfaction of employees and people we're in relationship with. It reduces our own dissatisfaction, and it relieves stress. And oftentimes, when someone's moving into a higher leadership role, they need to shift to be more assertive from being a little bit more passive. So this is a common place that people need to do work. Just so you know, aggressiveness is what leads to 70% of the firings out there. So So if you, and you can use this tool as well, if you end up with a direct report that needs to be less aggressive or needs to be assertive, you can use this with them as well.
Okay.
Okay. Great. So the green slides are about assertiveness, the yellow slides are about passiveness, and the red slides are about aggressiveness. So why be a more assertive leader? Assertive leaders are more motivating and inspiring, and that leads to happier employees, and happier employees are more productive. You communicate more clearly again, and I know that, productiveness is important to you. You're able to create an innovative environment. You're able to harness conflict and use it for the good of the company, and you get higher ratings on employee surveys. And I know there was a couple things on your employee survey that were just a little bit lower than you would like. Do these reasons make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. Well, actually, one of the reasons why I feel like I'm more on the passive side, I think my beliefs around that is that I don't want to cause conflict. I feel like if I speak up, some of the scores on the assertiveness were, sticking to my guns I was rated quite low on that. When I was feeling frustration, I don't verbalize that easily. I don't express my anger well. So I feel like I would cause more conflict if I was more assertive. So I think that sentence stands out to me as being interesting. Not in line with what I believe about assertiveness.
So is it that you have a belief that you shouldn't stick to your guns?
I believe that, no, not necessarily, but I believe that if I were to articulate a contrary opinion, it might cause more conflict. I'm not going with the flow. I'm not going with what people expect of me.
So what are the consequences of that?
Of not speaking up? So the consequences for me is I end up leaving a lot of interactions frustrated, and feeling like I'm not contributing, or feeling like I'm not showing up as me. I'm hiding in some way, even though I feel like speaking up might create, might create more conflict or discussion. But I feel like I'm hiding. I don't think that doesn't feel like a very good situation either.
Right. Oftentimes when we are passive in situations, we are frustrated because our needs are not met. Do you think that anybody sees that frustration?
No, I don't think they do.
Oftentimes people do see the emotions that we're experiencing or sense them without maybe necessarily seeing them.
Yes, okay. Perhaps they do.
And how do you feel about relationships when you're frustrated?
I feel unsupported. they feel about relationships. Maybe I should back up. Could you rephrase the question?
Sure. So let's think of a business situation.
Okay.
In a business situation where you are not voicing your opinions and you're feeling frustrated, when you are about to interact with that person, how do you feel about it?
It's not a very good, I don't come to the situation in a very good presence of mind or come away from the situation. It doesn't help our relationship. When I'm feeling that way, and I'm not asserting myself or not making my needs known. And so I think we're not finding a lot of common ground.
Mm.
I feel like that's...
Okay. So do you think that blocks collaboration?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you... Can you imagine coming to that situation in a different way?
I can imagine it. It's a matter of doing it.
Yeah. So I've led you a place here, but the place that I've led you to is that when you're not assertive, you're not approaching the relationship in a healthier way, and you're not getting what you want, and you don't feel good about the relationship. Does that all make sense?
It absolutely does. Yes.
Okay.
That's what's happening. Yeah.
So where do you think the belief of I don't want to cause conflict comes from?
Ooh. I'm not really sure. I think I grew up with some very strong personalities in my life. So when preference was vocalized or shared, it wasn't always received well because these personalities were quite dominant and liked to control the situation. Mm-hmm. So I suspect that has that's the context in which I'm coming to these new situations in.
Mm-hmm. And the people who had strong personalities, did they have power over you because you were a child?
Some did,
okay.
And some didn't, but believed they did. And maybe I accepted that.
You may have given them some power.
Yes.
This really resonates for me because I grew up with a very narcissistic father who thought that the world revolved around him and who wasn't there to meet any of my needs. I was there to serve his needs. And I've been able to overcome this. I was in a place where I was always saying I'm sorry and I was actually like physically small and I was like, oh, can you please do this for me? And, you know, it's almost a question rather than a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point I was teaching junior high and, you know, not being able to say, sit down, get in your seat, was really a problem. And so I really had to shift. And I did some therapy around that. And it may be that, you know, there may be some therapy to do, but let's explore it a little bit more. So, and the reason I told you that is because I want you to know that you can shift.
Yeah, yeah.
You can shift.
No, I appreciate that. And so what I would love to know now is what worked, you know, how, what worked for you, or, you know, what do I do now? How do I fix this?
And it's a journey, and I'm still working on it, but I've come a long way. Hopefully you can see that I've come a long way. Well, I want to come back to that belief, don't cause conflict. And so I'm putting a circle around that, and I want to come back to that later if that's okay, because I think that's really important.
Okay.
And I think we want to shift your belief around conflict. Okay.
Yeah.
So that'll be something, and this is going to be in phases. We're going to do this, and then we're going to do some other things. But, and by the way, just to stop for a second, box work would be great here. So, this would be the perfect place to go. So I'm going to come back to this about why be an assertive leader. I think we've kind of touched on some of it. Oops. It makes it more collaborative. It reduces employee turnover. It avoids conflicts, avoids lawsuits. But the other thing is, you're able to push back when people are making the wrong decision. And by the way, how do you think that would impact the organization if you could push back? Or how would that affect your business if you could push back?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us with?
I think that's valuable, and it's it would absolutely be valued, I think, amongst our leadership team, to have people be speaking up, and so all the information is out there, and we're not led down off a cliff somewhere.
Absolutely. So if you don't push back when they're going in the wrong direction, how does that impact the organization?
So if I don't push back, so I guess they're not hearing all the voices. They're not hearing from my department, my experience, the things that we have learned, that's a great point. That information isn't at the table, at the leadership table, we could make some poor decisions.
Well, and you're losing your wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's in your personal relationships, and that's in your business relationships. You are a very brilliant person, and people are losing your wisdom.
Mm.
So that would be some of the motivation to change, because it's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
But those are some of the motivators.
Hmm.
So do you need to put a note down?
Yeah, I like that. People are not able to access wisdom
from you.
From me.
And that's a loss for them.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Thank you.
Okay. So I want to explain the assertiveness continuum just so you have that as a cornerstone. Basically, it's a continuum, and we're all on the continuum. Either we're leaning towards the passive side, or we're leaning towards the aggressive side. So one thing I'd like you to do is put an X where you fall.
Okay.
So, you're going to fall a little bit more towards the passive.
Yeah, probably in between that, right in the middle of that passive line.
And so what we're doing is helping you move from passive to assertive. And we're going to do a lot of things, but part of what we're going to do is help you see behaviors, word choice, tone of voice, those kinds of things.
Okay.
And I just like to give it a little, are you a guppy, a dolphin, or a shark? So right now you're being a little guppy moving towards dolphin, but.
Yes, I want to be a dolphin.
I want to be a dolphin. So you can see here it's a yellow slide, and when we're passive, we're indirect, we're inferior, we're submissive, we may be the victim, and you feel like the needs of others are more important than yours, and you're willing to accept a lose-win.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. And what's better for the organization and for you and for your relationships is a win-win.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But you're going into these situations, from what I can hear, already accepting a lose-win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just so you know, aggressive is I want to win and you lose. So it's the opposite of that. Just so you have a feel for it, it can be active or passive, but it's I want to win.
Mm-hmm.
Assertive is active, direct, honest, self-respecting, respect for others. My needs are equal to the needs of others. Seeking the win-win. So where could you apply this? Is there a situation where you could apply this?
Apply the concept of win-win. My needs are equal to those of others. Yeah. I think that actually could be applied to almost every situation. In my work, in decision making and meetings, even in one-to-one interactions, I think there's a lot of situations where it can be applied.
Okay. So, what's a specific, just one situation where you're coming into it thinking, I don't want to cause conflict, and instead you could come in with my needs are equal, my ideas are equal?
Well, our regular leadership meetings that we have once a month, there are some strong personalities around the table, and they're, they can be fairly persuasive. So I think if I could go into that meeting not seeing their needs or opinions as being better or more important, or them having all the right answers, I think if I can go into that meeting believing that my needs and my department's needs are equal to their personal and departmental needs, that actually helps me maybe advocate for myself and my people.
Mm-hmm. So how do you see the meeting going differently if you come in from that approach?
I actually see it maybe wanting to engage in more conversation about, not shying away from the topic, but maybe wanting to discuss things more. And I actually have this feeling of advocacy or wanting to protect the work of my people, my team, at these meetings, that maybe I haven't been standing up for or advocating for what they've been doing. So maybe if I can't advocate for my own needs, I can advocate for them.
Well, what about advocating for your needs?
Yes, I know. Yes. I need to do that.
Is the company served if your department and your own leadership needs are not met?
No. No.
So what would be a positive outcome if you were to bring in your needs more?
I think I feel that I was another equal voice at the table, and that, you know, again, it goes back to decision making and, you know, the company being more successful because they, you know, we're hearing from everybody, and I am representing, you know, my work and the work of my team, you know, more wholly and more clearly at the meetings. And I think, you know, actually knowing that, I was more assertive in these meetings, I know that I'd be walking away from these, less frustrated, knowing that I, you know, shared my perspective, shared my information, my, you know, and was able to, be a voice in the conversation. Whatever decision was made beyond that, I'd be able to accept, I think, more fully, knowing that I participated in that conversation more fully, which is not something that was happening before.
So often when we are assertive and we bring our ideas out, we are not frustrated versus being passive and being frustrated. And it impacts how we work with everyone in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a different attitude. You're not frustrated. You can speak more freely. You become more collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
So it can have a huge impact.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just do this slide. So the assertive approach is influencing, listening, negotiating, partnering, collaborating, and a give and take.
Mm-hmm.
And assertiveness sees conflict in a different way than you see it. How could you see conflict from this viewpoint?
I could see conflict as a way to understand everybody's perspective, as a way to hear, you know, really hear what everybody is, you know, I guess what position they're taking or what their, I think it allows, conflict in this approach, is an opportunity to really understand where the other people are coming from. You know, so we can have that give and take or win-win.
And is there a part of, is there an additional part? So it's an opportunity to understand where others are. Is there a second part?
And for me to share. And for me to share.
And for them to understand.
Me.
And where you're coming
where
from.
Where I'm coming from. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you're replacing, I don't want to cause conflict. And there's probably something, and I would normally take some time and dig into this. I'm kind of doing an aside for you guys coaching. I would dig into finding the words, because I don't want to cause conflict aren't the words. The words are something like, my needs aren't important or I'm not important. You know, it's something deeper and so I would do some work around that for sure. But, if we replace, I don't want to cause conflict or, I'm not important with conflict allows us to understand everybody's perspective, including mine. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So does that sound like a good approach?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And I'm writing it down.
So, good, perfect. So, how could you learn that or practice that?
I need to practice. So for me, I think it will be really important to to have something that helps anchor this idea and to keep reminding myself of this idea. I like this as a mantra. You know, conflict allows us to understand everyone's perspective, including mine. I think that's a really nice mantra to remember.
Mm.
So I don't know, having that written down somewhere or reminding, you know, reading that statement often can help. And so because I think having that fresh in my mind and that for every situation I go into at work, I think I would approach it completely differently if I had that just top of mind.
Nice.
Yeah.
So some of the ways that clients learn and deepen this kind of mantra, one would be to journal about it. Another would be to draw a picture. It's stick figure. That works really well for me, even though I can't draw at all. I leave the fingers off the hands of the stick figure. But walking, the left-right movement of walking and saying something, there's a power in that. It's been studied. Left-right movement, whether it's hearing something left-right or seeing something left-right or walking, helps us learn things very deeply. So you could take it to the gym. I know you go to the gym and repeat it and talk about it to yourself. Some people have a conversation about it, and that's a good one for me. I don't know about you. Putting a symbol or having a symbol you touch, imagining it, visioning it, and I would like us to do some role play at some point. I'm going to stop. Okay. So I want to make sure I do one thing with you guys, but I'm going to stop and ask you, what did you observe? What could you add? What didn't work well? I know I asked a lot of yes, no questions, but somehow they still work. So I can't stop it. I just give up. So, let's just go around the room. So let's start with Ariana. What could be different and what was good for you?
Oh, what could be different? I'm not sure. I mean, I think, nothing's coming to mind in terms of different. I liked was sharing some examples of what other people have done to help them practice. I think that's really helpful because it gives me ideas. And actually, I think I would like to draw a symbol that represented and that I could have in my office and nobody else would know what that looks like. And then, you know, it would be for me to know. But having those examples really helped. The slides were good. I liked, you know, for me and the situation I was presenting, I really liked that shift from what conflict was to what it could be. So my understanding of conflict to what, you know, a different meaning of conflict, that was really helpful. Allowing me to articulate with that new meaning of conflict, what that could do for me, that really helped solidify my own understanding and visualize how a situation could be different for
right.
me.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would definitely, with you as a client, I would go into, let's visualize you walking into a room, sitting down, you know, being with the with them, how you would say it, definitely role play. I'd ask you, you know, if you wanted to role play with a friend, I'd probably say get a buddy that's watching and giving you feedback, you know, a lot of that stuff. Chris, comments, questions?
Well, I liked I like the entire coaching demonstration. I like the idea of having the PowerPoint where you can explain what passive is versus assertive and what the minuses were. You know, what does it cost you to be passive?
Are you there? Oh, I think Chris, you dropped. She dropped. Okay, come back to us when you can. So, Carissa, comments, questions? Oh, she's back. Wait, Chris, did you want to finish?
What did I say that you heard?
What does it cost you to be passive?
Oh, and what do you gain by being assertive? I really, you know, so you're losing something by being passive. You're losing part of yourself. You're losing probably self-respect and the respect of other people because
yes.
they're going to talk over you. The assertive approach allows you to...
Oh, you froze again. Darn it, and you were giving us such good... Oh, she's back.
But my internet connection is really whizzy right now. It allows you, when you're assertive, to become credible.
Mm-hmm.
When you're passive, you're not credible to the other people. So
yeah.
they just talk right over you or consider you invisible. That's all
yep.
I was going to say.
And I dropped the question that I would have asked eventually, which was, how does your team feel about you? In this state, and how could they feel in the other?
Absolutely.
Great. Okay, Carissa?
Yeah, I also really appreciated the whole demo, and I liked the slides, and I noticed and appreciated how you took some time to some time to sort of educate and speak to some of the points on the slide and create some context. And I noticed how that really kind of did lead into some powerful conversation. But I think that stood out to me because I shy away from that a little bit, just that educating piece. But I noticed over and over with you that it can help set a really stronger context for the conversation. And then, yeah, just what Chris was saying too, and I think I noticed Ariana's connection with advocating for her team, and then that allowed her to kind of advocate for herself, and so that is one piece of this language or the conversation that that stood out to me as really powerful.
Yes, and you could keep going with that a little bit more than what I did, so that's fantastic. Katie.
Well, it's interesting using the PowerPoint because it's more like education. It's like education and coaching.
Yeah.
With the slides.
Yeah.
And with everybody being so visual, it's probably really a good thing. Because so many clients are visual learners.
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, that's an interesting... And, you know, a good approach, really. What Ariana said something. She said, it feels like I'm hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have played on that.
Yep.
I wanted to dig in there.
Yeah. And I would have gone back to that. I just wanted to build more context first. But, yeah for sure. Yeah.
Yeah
it feels
yeah.
like I'm hiding. That was a huge,
yeah.
that was a breakthrough moment.
Yeah.
I was like, do I go for that? But then I'm not going to show you how to use the,
right.
but, yeah, I would have either gone there then or,
yeah
for sure. And I would have talked about how that resonated with me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was hiding so that I wouldn't get punished or yelled at or, you know,
well, and then later in the conversation, you said, yeah, you're hiding your wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, yeah, you're like, just to explore the opportunity of, wow, what does that feel like to hide? And how does that benefit you in your role as a leader?
Mm-hmm.
And And then where do you feel that in your body when you're high?
Yes.
Connecting her body to it.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to do it in a different way, which I'll show you a little bit of, but absolutely the body. And, what I want to do, though, I'm glad you're bringing this out, and Krista, thank you, is I think that, you know, the training we get says don't educate, kind of.
Right. But it's whatever we want to do, you know what I mean?
Well, I think our clients want this.
Well, I think, it's because a lot of them don't even know. I mean, I was just on a call with a guy, we're talking about procrastination. It's like this kind of thing would have been perfect.
And I have a bunch of resources on procrastination on the website. So, yeah. So, don't do this on an exam.
Right.
Don't do this on an exam. You'll fail.
Yeah.
But I believe
It's funny, Donna, that this is happening because I'm in my own practice, I'm doing more teaching, you know, just teaching in combination with coaching.
Mm-hmm.
It's new information for so many people.
Yeah. So here's the thing, you know, they say hold the client whole and resourceful, but they don't have these resources. And it's the same with our job search process. It's the same with our career exploration process. I think real life coaching has more education in it than what we're trained for. I think we need to know the distinction, and I think we need to use as much of what they have because that's better for them. If you can pull it out of them, it's better for them. They'll learn better. But I think our clients are looking for some education and some resources, and you can see that's a theme in everything I do. And you can see, too, I'm not telling her this is what you have to think. I'm asking her questions about the material that she's seeing. You know, it's a little directive. It's probably over the line a little bit, but I'll tell you, you'll keep clients more, you'll attract more clients, and they will get more out of it if you do some of this.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing. I just think, you know.
Yeah, we're not trained to do it.
Yeah.
And that's part of why I wanted to demonstrate it. Awesome. Okay. I can keep going with this line. We haven't even gotten to the passive slide. So I think if it's okay, instead of having you guys demonstrate, I'll just keep going. Is that okay? And I'll just show you a little bit more about how to use the slides.
I would love that.
Okay. So, Ariana, I just want to show you that I've got a slide here that explains the philosophy of assertiveness. And these can actually become affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can choose some that you use as an affirmation. You can say it to yourself looking in the mirror. You can write it over and over again. You know, affirmation work. Is there one here that you would choose?
I'm just reading them. So I really like the, I like all of them. But the couple that really stand out to me is I offer win-win solutions, and I choose my communication style rather than reacting to others. I think that's really important, and that for me when I read that, I feel a sense of control, and, you know, I get to choose how I show up in these conversations rather than, you know, feeling diminished or giving my power away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even as a child, when you were with those strong personalities, the problem being a child is you don't have as much choice because you don't have an adult ability to regulate emotion and choose. But if you think back to a situation where you didn't bring up what you thought, you have the choice now as an adult to either react to them trying to control you or not.
Hide or not.
There's still times when hiding is the best thing. If a guy has a gun on us, being passive and hiding is the best thing to do. But if somebody's having a stroke, the best thing to do is tell them you're taking them to the hospital because it's an emergency. Mm-hmm. So there's that continuum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And we want to operate, we have a choice. We can operate in aggressive, we can operate in passive, we can operate in assertive. What mm-hmm. we want to do is operate in assertive more of the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we've talked about how to learn those. If we were doing a full demonstration, I'd dig into how to do that and get you some actions. And another action I would be bringing to you is I want you to watch for when you're being more passive or when you're not bringing your ideas up. And at the end of the day, I want you to watch. I want you to note those and bring those. Now, I'm being a little directive, but sometimes being a little directive is okay, too. So this is how an assertive leader operates. How do you think this might benefit the people you work with?
Sorry, the question was
Yeah, if you were assertive and you did these things, how could your team benefit?
Oh, right. Yes. They would have a leader that, clearly communicates. They know where maybe I stand, where they stand. I think they would feel comfortable bringing things to me, knowing that I would provide honest feedback, good or, constructive. And I think that, I like what it says there, create a safe environment. There's a I see an assertive leader really shaping the environment or helping to shape and help give everybody on the team a voice and opportunity to make themselves heard and to model assertiveness too. I can think of a couple of personalities on my team that would benefit from this information. And so I think being able to model it for my entire team, even I have aggressive people on my team too, so modeling in a positive way what that middle ground looks like, I think could be really valuable for everybody in their development.
And do you think that your team... Well, can you describe how your team would be if they felt more safe?
Well, we'd all have, there'd be trust. There would be trust. They would feel free to bring ideas. They would be collaborative. They would be innovative. They would, work better together. So I think there's a lot of benefits there to feeling safe in an environment.
Mm-hmm. And a benefit to you feeling safe.
And a benefit to me, yes. Yes.
Okay. So just so you guys know, if the person doesn't take a quiz, and you can use these two slides, this one and this one, to help them see if they're passive or aggressive. And then it tells you what page to go to. So in this case, we're going to this page. And this page, Ariana, tells us how to recognize if we're being passive, what it looks like, how others react.
This is interesting.
Yeah, and let's talk about your family. Do you see any of this in your family when you're not as assertive?
I guess the last one, really, the last two. I guess the last three. I guess everybody goes,
everybody goes around you.
Well, no, there's just decisions being made that doesn't always, include me, and there's a protectiveness there too, which I don't always appreciate.
So with the protectiveness, is there a way to get that to shift?
So yes, I mean, if I make my own, if I, you know, stand in my own assertiveness, or, you know, assert my own opinions about things, and I can also reject that. That protectiveness. I don't need to accept it. I can still do what I want to do or make my decisions without really giving that any power, without allowing to accept it, I suppose.
Okay. And is there a way to not accept it but still respect the other person?
Oh, sure, yes. You know, thank you, but this is what I'm going to do. Or, you know, yeah, I appreciate your concern, but this is what I'm, the route I'm going to take.
And you could intervene in people going around you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And this probably happens at work, too.
I suppose. I never thought of it that way before, but I suppose it does.
Okay. So I would normally go through this slide two, but you can see you get ignored, sabotaged. Your department doesn't get represented. You've kind of said all of these things, right? I've kind of helped you see that already. So now I'm going to go through some slides that talk about the differences between passive and assertive. And the first is posture, and the second is facial expression. The third is voice tone, and then gestures. So posture, we tend to get small when we're not assertive. And I'd actually like us to stand up and first think about how you are physically when you're passive, and then think about how you are when, or how to be assertive. So if you would, oh, darn it. Okay, I can't fix that right now. I'd like you to first stand as you would when you're being passive.
Oh, maybe, I don't know, can you see me?
Yeah. Well, you describe it.
Oh, okay.
Do it and describe it.
So I would feel, or I guess I would look, slumped, looking down. Just not shoulders up straight. I would feel diminutive, like I would feel smaller, like I didn't want to take up much space. And, you know, maybe not standing, like standing on both feet, grounded, like I'd be sort of...
kind of off balance.
Just off balance. And,
Okay, I want you to imagine that you're facing someone that's challenging for you to say your ideas because you don't want to create conflict. Okay, I want you to imagine that for a second. Okay, now I want you to stand in an assertive posture. And that's your feet, both of your feet are planted. Your weight is even between your feet. Your shoulders are back. Your tummy's tucked in. You have a good sense of balance. You're facing forward rather than down. I don't know about you, but when I'm passive, I look down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But when I'm assertive, I'm looking up. I have this sense of openness to the other person. And I have the sense that they can't push me over. And I also, and this was actually my Pilates instructor said, you know, take up space as if you're a queen. You know, take up space. Don't be diminutive, but take your space. Own your space around you. Okay. Now I want you to imagine talking to that other person and say what you would say to that other person from this place of energy.
Yes. You're much stronger.
Okay. Say it aloud if you wouldn't mind.
What am I saying?
Talk to the person that is difficult to give your ideas to and give them an idea.
Oh, okay. Give them an idea. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think that, I have to think of an idea. Hold on.
And so, pick a real one from your life.
I'm sort of blanking. So I'll just use something one of my clients.
Okay.
So I believe, or I think that we should be, using a different, wrapping on our product because, it'll be more effective for our customer. It'll have the information they need.
So how did that feel different?
Well, my body positioning actually is very helpful because it helps me just feel really grounded. I didn't have that that anxiousness or anxiety in my chest that I sometimes get. So, and there's lots of room for me to breathe, and I just feel strong.
Mm.
And I pictured their face in front of me. That felt good.
Okay. So I want you to get back into the passive stance.
Okay.
Okay, kind of looking down. Would you be willing to, for the next 2 weeks, watch for when you get into this posture?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And I think note it down. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And bring it back. Okay. Now I want you to stand in the assertive stance, shoulders back, grounded up. Would you also be willing to practice this when you notice that you're in the other?
Yes.
Okay. And is there anything else that you would need to do to kind of take this learning forward?
I don't think so. I like to journal, so it's something I will journal on this, for the next couple of weeks. And I'll incorporate this into my morning routine.
Ooh, I like it. Go ahead and have a seat. And especially think about when you're entering rooms, take the energy in the whole room. Put your energy out into it.
Mm.
Take the room when you walk in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So just to give you a feel of what to do with the other slides, you could have them videotape possibly or videotape a Zoom with them. Talk about these facial expressions and have them do each. Then you've got the voice tone. And a lot of times with this, I will mirror back what I hear because they'll do the voice tone, at certain times. But a big one is instead of making a statement, making it sound like a question.
Mm.
Please go get the files for me. Or please go get the files for me. So especially women fall into doing this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I give the example of a child in the store. If you say to Johnny, oh, Johnny, get the, don't pick that up. Is Johnny going to stop or is it Johnny, don't pick that up?
Mm-hmm.
So, doing some, modeling and then having them practice it and then asking permission to give it back to them when you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And also maybe getting a partner. Gestures, the same thing. And then we've got word choice. And so being, examining, are you using these and can you shift to these? So you've got word choice also. And then another assertive thinking, just to reinforce, how to be. And then I would offer these, possible activities. And for sure I would go back to the beliefs with you and the hiding and go into, and it, maybe it would be good to demo that, in the future. What do you guys think? Is that, yes, do this or this? Do you need that or? Okay. But, you know, practicing role play, identifying actions. And then it says to go to page 40 because you've got a bunch of aggressive slides there. Whoops. And then I've just got a last thing, what to look for. What does it look like when you're being assertive? How do people interact with you? So, okay. So let's give everybody just 60 seconds to comment, either question or offer something new or highlight something you liked. And I'm going to have Carissa go first, if that's okay.
I appreciated you guys actually getting up out of your chair and doing it together, and the visualization, the moving your body, that activity. I thought that was really, really great.
I do that a lot with clients, and it just happens. It's like I know if I stand up when I'm coaching that I need them to stand up. So, I had one with assertiveness where I said, okay, there's a line in front of you, and you're going to try to step into assertiveness, step over the line, and then you're now assertive. And that works really well with that client. So some of it just emerges as you're coaching, but thank you. Chris?
Chris, your friend. Did I go away?
You're back.
Oh, okay. I liked...
Oh, darn. Give her a second, see if she comes back. Chris, we lost you. Oh, you're back. Okay, could you repeat that?
This really resonated with me. I liked the idea of the passive, assertive, aggressive thing, and I really liked the very long, in-depth coaching session that you did. That was very eye-opening. Thank
nice.
You.
I don't know if that, it's good feedback because I don't know if you guys want this kind of thing. If it's helpful, I'll do more of it. But and I would have loved to get you guys coaching. I don't know. I just couldn't seem to switch it off today. So, Ariana?
Well, as somebody who was doing the physical standing up, it absolutely could feel the difference between the meek or the passive stance and the assertive stance. So you could completely feel that in your body. So I think having a client do that, it's very impactful. Being the receiver of that and going through that. And picturing, I wish I had a better example in my mind because I felt like if I was dealing with a specific example, it would have been really good to use an example and say it. Because I felt more powerful, I felt more assertive, and not afraid. So it's just too bad I couldn't think of something. But I think if a real client was faced with that, I think it would be really powerful for them to experience it from that place, that mm-hmm. physical place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can still do that offline when you think of something. Mm-hmm. And if a person couldn't come up with a real example, I'd tell them, why don't you take that homework or bring one and we'll do it next time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, having them practice and having them actually do it, you need a lot of that in coaching because you think that they know how to go do something and they really don't. So you got to get them to practice it. So, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. I also, if anybody has a coach they want to recommend, I am recruiting right now. And especially looking for career and job search, but always leadership and sales and all that too. So send them my way. And ending code is 677. That's 677. And Send any questions that come up later. And the aggressive coaching and trying to get them to assertive is harder. So send me an email if you think I should demo an aggressive one too. So, okay. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. That was great.
Bye.
Bye.